461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, we do so through the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Today I want us to think for a moment as one of our texts for today, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I believe one of the things that's the missing element in Christianity and conservatism today is that we fail to be wise as serpents. That is, that we watch, we see, we analyze, we look at, and make a determination based on wisdom and not what the world happens to tell us and happens to say that is necessary and needful. We'll be interviewing today one that you've heard before. Some of you have, some of you have not. We'll be interviewing Dr. Reed Sheftall. He is what I would call an expert on this subject. We'll talk more about his credentials and background and his understanding of the subject. But we're going to talk about COVID update. COVID update. I believe that we need to be aware of what's happening. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, if I can simply say this as a Youngblood parenthetical footnote, there's been meeting after meeting after meeting, Senator Ron Johnson and his subcommittee meetings on COVID updates, examining where it came from, how it was developed, who was involved, and who told the lies and who told the truth, and what is factual and what is not. Those committee meetings are continuing. It's being totally shut out from the media. You've not heard that on the Marxist media. You've not heard that on the Communist Network News. They're not broadcasting anything about the meeting or the results of the meetings. They've not told you or me or the world in relationship to the recent meeting where the CDC refused to send a representative to talk about what had happened during COVID, to bring the documents and the papers and the information about what CDC and the FDA had done in harmony with Big Pharma in order to keep the American public sequestered from the truth of what was taking place during the time of COVID. It's almost 6 years since COVID, and we're still looking for answers. We're looking for what took place. Well, if I can just say that, I believe that Sir Anthony Fauci needs to be caught, tried, convicted, sentenced, and absolutely executed for murder by the way of millions. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying go out and do that. I'm simply saying that there needs to be some recognition of who were some of the players in this thing that took place about 6 years ago, and the death, the dying, the suffering as a result of it. That's where we're going today. But let me remind you, as we do so, we go based on the Truth Book, the simple Word of God. May I say to you, God's Word tells us what He has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do. And the warning in the Scripture from the Lord Jesus is that we need to be wise, have wisdom, and look at what is taking place. I go back to what Jesus said to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32. If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. we need to stick to the truth book, is what I call it. That is the Bible. Yet, George Orwell, perhaps you remember, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell made a profound statement. Orwell was a secularist. I'm not bragging on him as a spiritual person, but as a secularist, Orwell made a profound statement. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true even today. Yet we find, according to the recent survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no absolute truth, how do you ascertain who is at fault in any trial of any kind, whether it be negligence, homicide, or civil crime? How do you determine that without a source for truth? There must be a source for truth, and yet the millennials say that every person determines his or her own version of truth. Now, one of the things that we'll be talking about today with the COVID cover-up, we'll be talking about the COVID death jab. We'll be talking about what has taken place and what they, the pharmaceuticals, along with the Big Pharma and others in that medical field, are attempting to and planning and promulgating what they will do for the, quote, next pandemic. They already see one. As they bat their eyes, they're seeing dollar signs as to how they can use the general public as guinea pigs once again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint made this statement in part. He says, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my position. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that if we delay standing on truth, if we delay standing up for truth, if we delay taking a stand warning, as Ezekiel 33 tells us, the watchman on the wall, that danger's ahead, danger's ahead. Listen. We went through the lockdowns. We went through the dialogue, the dilemma, the discussion, even with folks like Don Lemon on the Communist Network News at that time, saying that every non-vaxxer should be locked up and put in a concentration camp. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today that as we look at the COVID update, we need to understand where we've been, what has taken place, and what is attempting to be revealed today through the Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson's committee meetings, and how we need to stand. And we're going to be talking with someone that can answer some of these profound questions for us. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has an knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You may perhaps ask the question, how do I find that? At the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road, there's a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you might have the feeling that there's a sound of urgency in my voice today, and it's because it is. It's the urgency for us to sit up, stand up, and understand what is taking place, what has happened, and what is on the agenda, the horizon, even for tomorrow, as I call it. I watch the morning news, listen, and the World Health Organization and other leaders and health groups across the nation and around the world are supposedly studying the different virus outbreaks on a global basis. and their words, not mine, working to prepare for what they believe is an imminent outbreak and a pandemic. Now, if that doesn't show us the handwriting on the wall, if that doesn't give us an indication of where we're going, if that doesn't tell us, in fact, one of these spokespeople in this group that's meeting now on the basis, they want to make sure, listen, not my words, theirs, they want to make sure that they've studied it and planned it, and listen, that they have the vials of the virus, how would you say, apparatus to prevent the public from getting very sick or dying. In other words, Big Pharma is already on the horizon. They're already studying, supposedly. And I don't believe they're just studying it. I believe they already had the vials of the medicine, as they would call it, for the vaccines to go in the arms of every human being that will sit down and accept it. And I'm against that. If you're not already heard me enough in years gone by, I'm a no-vaxxer, I'm a no-masker, and I believe that we need to understand that we're on the fast track for that once again. Ladies and gentlemen, they're wanting to be ready, as they put it. Listen, this is their words, wanting to be ready for another COVID outbreak or Ebola outbreak or something new. Their words, not mine. I just say, wow. I just wonder what they might have behind their studies. I wonder what kind of group this has in total. I wonder how many Big Pharma representatives have paid into the campaigns of some of these folks, are paid in some fashion for their decisions to be made. I believe that they're playing, if you please, the Rubik's Cube, the Rubik's with your life and mine. I believe there's an idea to design it somehow, some way, because Americans sat down, shut up, and were locked up in the COVID outbreak, as it was called, that I believe that somehow there's a belief that we'll do that again. And I'm here to tell you, I believe we need to understand this. Let me just go through a little litany of what has happened, and Dr. Reed Sheftall is with me. And Dr. Sheftall, I'm just asking him, as I go down this kind of the list, shopping list of what we've gone through, let him just respond one by one on these. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'll cover two or three and then go back and let him respond. The churches were locked down, shut up. Small businesses locked down and closed. Dr. Sheftall, was that necessary?
No, it wasn't necessary at all. Closing down those things was a byproduct of them assuming that there was a transmissible agent called SARS-CoV-2 that was going from person to person and causing the pandemic. But I can prove easily there was no SARS-CoV-2. There was never any virus involved in this. That was all a patsy to get us to take the vaccine.
It was a scare tactic.
That's right.
And I believe that it worked because of America was willing to do so. Most churches that I'm aware of closed down. Many of them were never able to open back up because of lack of funds to do so as a result of the lockdown of the churches. And the houses of prostitution, the massage parlors, the liquor stores, and things like that were considered essential, but churches were not essential.
Yeah, I know. they allowed some things to stay open that made no logical sense at all.
No, of course, really? Everybody had to have their booze, you know. So the liquor stores were open. And, of course, people like Nancy Pelosi had to get her hair done.
Yes, exactly. So some people didn't pay attention to the laws that were put in place over it. And other things were completely unnecessary. I mean, the whole thing was ridiculous, really.
One of the other things that we went through with that, as you know, Dr. Sheftall, was that parents were told that the kids could not visit grandma and grandpa,
right,
because the kids were known as carriers that would cause grandma and grandpa to die. Was that factual or is that a lie?
That's a lie. With no virus, nobody can be a carrier.
Mm-hmm.
That simple. There was no transmissible agent that was going from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
That's been proven
by me. Well,
I'm going to publish a book in 1 week that explains it. It's just called Proof that the SARS-2 virus didn't exist. That's volume two of Sanction the COVID Murders.
You touch on that. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore, and look for Dr. Sheftall's books. He's already got two books that's published. One outlines with the pictures, the background, the information of all of the players that were involved in the COVID lie, and also pointing out very clearly and factually with his background in medical science as a cardiac surgeon, as a plastic surgeon, familiar with and having done the research and study that COVID didn't exist. That might sound like a far out statement. We're going to talk about that in a moment with Dr. Sheftall and ask him, what does he mean that COVID didn't exist? Some were sick with it, some were died with it, but yet COVID didn't exist is what he's saying. We'll get to that in just a moment, Dr. Sheftall.
Just to clarify with the nitpicking point there, COVID existed, but it was a rebranding of other diseases.
Yes.
The SARS-CoV-2 virus did not exist.
Gotcha. So, another thing, everybody's told to wash your kitchen counters down with Clorox. If you go shopping, don't bring the grocery bags in because you can bring it in. Whatever your products are that's in the plastic bags, et cetera, wash them down some way because you could be transmitting COVID. Was the so-called COVID transmissible in that fashion?
No. There was no SARS-CoV-2 virus, so there's no reason to wipe down your groceries or the tabletops or anything. Also, early on, when everybody did believe there was a virus, because we were told and we assumed that the people that were telling us were being honest, we knew even at that point that it was, if it existed, it was transmitted by aerosols, which are tiny little particles that float through the air, not by fomites, which are things that, deposit on surfaces
that
you need to wipe off.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't ever transmitted by fomites anyway. So there was no reason to wipe everything down like that. That was ridiculous. That was Sanjay Gupta's thing on CNN, and it was absurd.
Yes, this
just
may be
person.
An elementary question, and this may be a question that many are asking even now. How did we, the general public, how were we so anemically aware that we were fooled by this, bowed to it, and is it possible for that to happen again?
Yeah, it's happened in the past. It happened in 1976 when 45 million people took a vaccine for a viral infection. Get this now. A viral infection, the swine flu, they called it, that did not have a single confirmed case anywhere in the world during the period from February 1976 to October 1st, 1976, when the vaccine came out. Not a single case was confirmed in the entire world, and 45 million people agreed to a vaccine for it. After 674 people had died 2.5 months into the vaccine campaign on December 15th, it was removed from the market. The public was outraged that all these people were dying from the vaccine, and there wasn't even a single case confirmed.
And yet we did
of
not.
The disease.
Yet we
Isn't
did
that
not,
incredible?
We, as America, did not learn the lesson.
I know, we didn't learn the lesson. And then in 2005, there was a bird flu case where Neil Ferguson, the modeler from Imperial College in London, said that there would be 250 million people that would die from it worldwide.
Mm.
And supposedly something like 27 people died. Mm-hmm. Isn't that absurd?
Mm-hmm.
But he scared everybody with it. And then Obama, in the Obama administration, in 2010, there was a swine flu outbreak, and he got a bunch of people to take a vaccine. Fortunately, only a quarter of Americans took this vaccine. And before they released the vaccine, they were saying that hellfire would rain down on the population if everyone didn't take this vaccine. Well, only a quarter of the people took it,
mm-hmm.
and the next day, absolutely nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was all fluff to steal money from the public, I guess.
Now, is it possible, I know this is a redundant question, is it possible what I'm hearing as late as on the morning news, I've forgotten what network I was on, I was rolling the dial,
uh-huh.
I'm a news freak,
yeah.
and find out now where some World Health Organization people, some from Pfizer, some from CDC, et cetera, are meeting to discuss, and they had a deadline, discuss how they could be ready with vaccines by August. Does that tell us that something's on the horizon?
So you're talking about this year?
This year.
Okay, you mean SARS-CoV-2 vaccines?
They said either it would be either Ebola another strain of COVID or something new, but they want to be ready. How in the world can they be now planning a vaccine? They do not have any idea what will really be coming that the vaccine should be the cure for.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that absurd? The vaccine is coming before the virus.
Yes.
Just like Bill Gates bought shares in the vaccine before SARS-CoV-2 was, quote, discovered.
In fact, that was in 2015 when he did that.
Well, no, he did it in 2019. On August 31st of 2019, the SEC filing shows that he bought shares in BioNTech.
Yes.
As opposed, you know, in competition with 100 other biotech companies.
I have video footage.
And the SARS-CoV-2 virus supposedly first infected people in December of 2019.
Yes.
So how could he have known to buy the vaccine before the virus was even discovered?
I watched video footage in meetings that Bill Gates was involved in as early as 2015 talking about the potential of
the potential, yeah, but he bought the shares in the vaccine in 2019.
But
on August 30th, though, however, and the vaccine wasn't even discovered for three more months.
Correct.
I mean, that means he was in on the plan. He knew about the plan.
That's the very point that I believe that we're watching as it is fomenting and being prepared to announce to the general public something that's going to kill us all if we do not get the jab in the arm.
Yeah, let me clarify one more time about Obama's vaccine mandate in 2010. A lot of people don't remember this, but about every 10 years, they try to do this again. Like I said, in 2005, they did it with bird flu. And then 2010, Obama's administration did it with swine flu. None of these things existed, but they wanted people to get vaccinated because they make so much money for the pharmaceutical companies. And I think the pharmaceutical companies' contribution to it is they keep the people that are in power.
Absolutely.
By making donations to their campaigns.
Well, it's not
so
just
They've got the politicians wrapped around their fingers. They're dependent on the financing of their campaign from the pharmaceutical companies. This has got to stop.
And
this
it's not
is
just
out of control.
It's not just Big Pharma that's controlling the politicians by paying into their campaigns. But as I understand it, you have people that worked with Big Pharma. They leave Big Pharma. They go to work for CDC. Those that are working for CDC go to work for Big Pharma. It's a musical chairs, a round table of one patting the back and
We call it the revolving door of corruption.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Scott Gottlieb was the commissioner of the FDA.
Yes.
Now he's on the board of Pfizer.
Yes.
Good Lord. That ought to be outlawed.
Amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead to customer comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. This is a question in regards to transmission vector for Ebola and any other flu-like virus. If I understand this correctly, Ebola is a hemorrhagic, which means that it needs, it breaks your blood down and your vessels down, but it needs to be transmitted via bodily fluids, blood fluids, or something like that, which is a completely different vector than a flu, which is, like you were talking earlier, an aerosolized particle. And I can't remember the word you used for on the counter, but isn't Ebola more of that type of transmission vector?
Well, you have to, in order to get Ebola, as far as the theory is concerned now, Jim, as far as the theory is concerned, you have to come in contact with the bodily fluids of an infected person.
Okay.
So as long as you don't touch their bodily fluids, you'll be okay as far as Ebola is concerned. That's why it doesn't spread very well. But, you know, it's not aerosolized where someone can walk in a grocery store, breathe out, exhale, and then 2 days later, someone else can walk through that same aisle in the grocery store and breathe it in. Because, you know, aerosols stay in the air for up to 2 days.
Yeah.
That's why contact tracing doesn't work at all for a respiratory virus. You don't know who gave it to you if it stays in the air for 2 days. It could be one of a trillion people that were in that grocery store. So checking out your friends and all that is totally a waste of time and money. Nevertheless, the government did it because they don't understand it. You know, they got advisors that don't understand even simple common sense things like that. You can't do contact tracing with aerosol. You can for what they call AIDS, though, because hopefully you can remember who you had sex with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can do contract tracing there. But any kind of respiratory virus, forget it. Or yeah. even... go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just pointing out that they're using the same advertisements, you know, and the same scare tactics, but you're talking about two completely different...
That's right. Totally different.
...of illnesses.
Right.
And it seems to be a little disingenuous on... It's almost like a PR program that they're trying to throw propaganda to scare people. And they scared a lot of people.
I'll tell you, Jim, all of this is fear tactic and propaganda. If people would just get rid of the fear, this thing would disappear in one day.
Yeah.
It would. Just like the swine flu epidemic in 2010, which nobody even remembers, and that's why they fell for the SARS-2 epidemic.
Yes.
Because they didn't remember how easily they were manipulated based on fear.
Well,
What's really aggressive this time is, even when people still remember COVID, they tried to do it with monkeypox, they tried to do it with bird flu. Mm-hmm. Remember just a year ago?
Yeah.
Nobody fell for monkeypox or bird flu. Now they're coming up with Ebola.
What was the virus on the ship recently?
Oh, hantavirus. That's another one.
Hanta.
You know, they're Hanta, H-A-N-T-A.
Hanta.
Now, I know a lot about hantavirus because I used it to prove to Dr. Bhattacharya when we did our debates together that you can't have asymptomatic transmission. And the example I used was hantavirus because hantavirus has a 40% mortality rate. And yet it cannot be transmitted from person to person. I'm talking about the strain of hantavirus that's in the Four Corners desert southwest of the United States, where four states' corners come together.
Yeah.
And
His wife suffered from that, correct? And that was transmission by mice and rats, correct?
Yes, it's transmitted in mice, urine, or feces. And people got it, supposedly, again, it's based on the existence of viruses and all sorts of other things which are very tenuous. But the way people get it is they go up into their attic to clean up the attic, and there's all this dust on the floor. And when they pick up an old box, all the dust gets blown up into the air, and they breathe it in. But that's got dried urine in it. You know, from mice and stuff that were up there. But here's the point. You can't transmit something unless you have a certain viral load. And the amount of viral load you need to have symptoms is much less. So that shows you right there, you can't have asymptomatic transmission. Because if you have enough viral load to transmit, you certainly have enough viral load to have symptoms. I mean, look at hantavirus. 40% of the people die and they can't even transmit it. And it's a respiratory disease.
Yeah.
You see,
I've heard that viral load from people that suffer from HIV as far as transmission there. Low viral loads are less likely to spread transmission as opposed to higher viral loads. So,
yeah,
that makes complete sense. You got to have a certain amount to kickstart the program.
Yeah, sure.
I get it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because when you exhale, there has to be enough virus coming out of you to cause a disease in another person if they inhale those virus particles in. Now, I have a lot of problems with lots of things here, so I'm talking based on the theory of these viruses that cause these things. I don't know if you know this or not, Jim, but no one has ever isolated a virus from a sick person. It's never happened in history. No, it requires no explanation. There was, a few years ago, there was a doctor who was a reformed virologist who found out all the pseudoscience that was being done by himself and his colleagues. His name is Stefan Lanka. And he offered $100,000 in cash to anyone that could prove the existence of the measles virus that turns the whole world, bends them out of shape every few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person that won the award could use any published paper to bolster his claim that the measles virus exists. And someone thought they had proved it. And Lanka said, no, you didn't prove anything. So he sued Lanka, and they went to court in Germany. And after a huge court case where they presented all this data and had all these experts come in, it turns out the person that... wanted the money from Stefan Lanka did not prove that viruses exist, and the judge said, no, you haven't proved anything. So no one has ever even proved that these things exist. And they're all 100 nanometers in diameter, roughly. And, you know, we can look at things that are 2 nanometers in diameter now with an electron microscope. So it's not that it's too small.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take top of the hour news right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.